I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
All right, quiet everybody. Our director will be here any minute, and we'll start rehearsal.
Director? What director?
Charlie Brown!
Oh no, we're doomed!
This will be the worst Christmas play ever.
Here he comes! Attention, everyone! Here's our director!
Man's best friend.
We're back again with legendary Peanuts TV producer Lee Mendelson right here on the TV Time Machine. Now, interestingly enough, Charlie Brown Christmas was not the first time that America was introduced to an animated version of the Peanuts gang, as we'll hear in the following clip.
If you can name just one car as beautiful and economical as a Falcon, I'll give you $1,000. I'll give you $10,000 if you can name just one. But you can't, because there isn't any car that looks so great yet still saves on gas like a Falcon.
There isn't?
Nope,
that's too bad. I could have used the money.
Lee, that was a Ford Falcon car commercial right. That you might recognize.
Sure.
Tell us about the gentleman who was the animator for that commercial.
Well, Bill Melendez had met Charles Schulz 4 years before I had, back in 1959. Mm-hmm. And the first animation they ever did was for this Ford commercial. In fact, the kids that were on it were quite young, the Linus and Charlie Brown kids, and 3 or 4 years later, we used them again on a Charlie Brown Christmas, so there was a linkage there.
That's great. That's great. Now, do you remember your first meeting with Bill, and did you guys immediately click?
Bill was working for a small company called Playhouse Pictures, and again, he had done this animation for Charles Schulz before. And we were going to do this documentary in 1963, and we had very little money. And I could only afford to do 1 or 2 minutes of animation, so he and I met for the first time down in Los Angeles and hit it off right away. We found out years later that his grandfather and my great-grandfather were both in San Francisco in 1851 selling mules and clothes to the miners, so there might have been a Mendelssohn Melendez back then. But we hit it off very well from the very beginning, and over the 43 years, there was never an argument or a problem between Mr. Schulz, Melendez, and myself, partly because we all respected each other's turf and partly because we worked in different cities. We weren't under the pressure of a big studio. We'd meet once or twice a month, you know, and got along as friends first and as creative partners second.
What did he think of the Charlie Brown Christmas project?
Oh, he jumped right into it when I said to him, you know, we've got to do this outline tomorrow. He said, okay, come on up, we'll do it, and was very enthusiastic throughout, and even when he knew Bill and I were a little dubious and the network was dubious, he was very strong on it and felt it was going to be very successful. And he was right and we were wrong.
Do you remember what kind of ideas he had at the time? Was he able to implement all his ideas? And how did he work with you and Charles Schulz during that period of time?
Well, the beauty of Bill Melendez's animation for Charlie Brown was he didn't try to embellish the strip or make the characters more detailed. He literally made a seamless transition from the comic strip to animation because he just moved the characters. He kept them simple, and he kept the background simple. And that's why Schulz had liked what he had done on the Falcon and why he had total confidence in Bill to successfully bring it to television.
What kind of talents did Bill possess that people might not know about above and beyond his creative skills?
Well, I might mention in passing that he was the voice of Snoopy in Woodstock.
Right.
And what he would do is he'd just talk a lot of gibberish and then he'd speed it up 10 times. And so he's quite famous in that regard. And again, he was a very joyful person. Everybody who knew Bill, he was just so happy and pleasant to be around and always very positive. And a great animator with a great history. I mean, he'd worked on all the key Disney movies, the Pinocchio, Dumbo, the whole works, and was considered by people, throughout the animation business as one of the greatest animators of all time. not just for Charlie Brown, but for all the animation he'd worked on.
Well, you mentioned that one Peanuts character who, in particular, became quite a character, and in the process, a phenomenon, as we'll hear in the following clip.
What's going on here? What's this? Find the true meaning of Christmas? When money, 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 spectacular, super colossal, neighborhood Christmas lights and display contest. Lights and display contest? Oh, no. My own dog gone commercial. I can't stand it. Oh.
Now, as everybody knows, Snoopy has become an iconic figure, not only in this country, but around the world. Lee, why is he so popular? What character trait does he have that makes him so universally appealing?
Well, Snoopy was kind of modeled after a dog that Mr. Schultz had growing up in St. Paul, Minnesota, kind of a character dog or had kind of did many wild things. And Snoopy, to our shows and to the comic strip, was like Harpo Marx on our television shows. He didn't talk, but he did through his actions, was very animatable. In the comic strip, of course, he could you could hear his thoughts, and we had to give that up in animation. But he made up for it in the great flexibility he gave animators. They could do almost anything with him. And there was something that the public already knew about Snoopy before he came on television. Mm-hmm. It was the number one comic strip in the world, so even though he didn't talk on our shows, they knew what he was thinking.
Right, right.
We couldn't use, there were no adults in the comic strip, so we didn't have adults in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked Vince if he could, when we needed some offstage adult voices, if Vince Guarelli, if he could come up with something. He said, well, the trombone sound like a human being, and that wah-wah in the shows has probably become the most famous aspect of the shows, and it's the thing people ask us the most about. And it was just an afterthought, but it has stuck in people's minds. In fact, people will frequently say wah-wah-wah.
Yeah, exactly.
I sat down at a blackjack table a few weeks ago in Las Vegas, and as I sat there, the guy says to his wife, the player, I didn't like that last dealer. She sounded like that wah-wah-wah on Charlie Brown. And I said to him, did they tell you who I was? And, of course, he had no idea.
Wow.
It was just a coincidence.
That's great. That's great.
But we hear that all the time.
Now, of course, the Peanuts franchise has become an incredible commercial juggernaut for the past 50 years.
Right.
Why do you think Peanuts strike such a chord with human beings around the world?
Well, I think that Schultz is what we used to call a bell ringer. He reminded people, and still reminds people, of their early childhood and things that they grew up with and maybe had forgotten. He often said that he hoped that Charlie Brown was like a kid next door that everybody would like to have as a kid next door.
Mm-hmm.
And I think although there's a lot of animosity in the strip and sometimes in the shows, the eternal struggle comes through that Charlie Brown, no matter how many times he gets knocked down, he gets up again. And I think we all identify with that. Each day is a struggle, and we get up and we do the best we can. And the fact that he keeps enduring, I think, appeal to people. So although it was harsh, like when he crashes on the football or when he got yelled at, it's just a kid that everybody seemed to identify with. And I think it goes back to Schultz's Midwest values and mm-hmm. feeling, he was a real patriot about the country and the love of the country. And I think all that came through in the strips.
Does that kind of thing exist today to the same degree? Are there any strips that reflect that kind of spirit that you can comment on?
Well, I haven't read the comic strips, recently.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I really can't comment on that. We did a lot of specials on the network about the famous cartoonists. We did three different shows on the Fabulous Funnies over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of, like Pogo was very, very important to the environmental movement way back in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Kathy came along later on for women's rights, if you will, or women's problems as well.
That's right.
But most of the comic strips in general were just escapism,
mm-hmm.
and whether it was Dick Tracy or Little Abner or whatever, but This was the first man, Schultz, to deal with, really with emotions in the comic strip, and to deal with feelings in the comic strip.
Well, Lee, one of the more complicated relationships in the Peanuts series is that of Schroeder and Lucy,
yes,
heard here in the following clip.
This is the music I've selected for the Christmas play.
What kind of Christmas music is that?
Beethoven Christmas music.
What has Beethoven got to do with Christmas? Everyone talks about how great Beethoven was. Beethoven wasn't so great.
What do you mean Beethoven wasn't so great?
He never got his picture on bubblegum cards, did he? Have you ever seen his picture on a bubblegum card? How can you say someone is great who's never had his picture on bubblegum cards?
Good grief.
Lee, tell us about Lucy and Schroeder and the children who voice their characters.
Schroeder probably has done more to popularize Beethoven than anything in history.
That's right.
Think about.
That's right.
Fleur de Lis is played all the time at Christmas time that Vince recorded. Schroeder, when Schultz would do any strips on Schroeder, and you'd see the notes in the comic strip, those are the actual notes he would research very carefully. And when I was in Vienna, I went to the Beethoven's grave, and I put a little Snoopy pin on the grave, and a little Austrian girl was standing there, and she said, "Wasch der Schroeder." And so I went back to my briefcase and put a little Schroeder pin on the Beethoven grave. And when I told that story to Mr. Schultz, a tear came to his eye.
Wow.
And it was, for whatever crazy reason, it was an emotional moment.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, Lucy, for 40 years, 50 years, has been after him, you know, try and get married eventually. And he,
right.
And he's ignored her for 50 years and will ignore her for another 50, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Lucy was a good character for us because of the yelling and screaming. She was a funny character, and Schroeder, of course, was Mr. Cool. So we did quite a few sequences over the years of the two of them at the piano with nothing ever getting resolved.
The amazing thing about Lucy is that she could be mean, but you never really disliked her. That's the amazing thing about that character.
Yeah, because she was funny. She was mean funny, and it was entertaining always.
Yeah.
And everybody's probably had an older sister or older brother that, you know, acted the same way.
Now, the little girl who played Lucy, she was an actual actress, is that correct? She wasn't one of the
amateurs? First Lucy was Pam Ferdin, who I think, had done some acting.
Mm-hmm.
And then thereafter we had amateurs from then on for Great Pumpkin and all the other shows.
When you were casting these voices, what were you looking for?
Well, you know, when we started out, we had the Falcon commercial it was done in 1959, and Linus had this lispy voice, and Charlie Brown was this kind of dull character, so we had something to go on. But it was just kind of a hit-and-miss thing. But once we did the voices for Charlie Brown Christmas, then all the voices we've recorded since then have been based on those voices.
Mm-hmm.
We try to match them up as much as possible.
Right.
And as I mentioned, we've had probably 20 different casts now,
mm-hmm,
and over 150 kids. And hopefully to the audience, they all sound very similar to a Charlie Brown Christmas. We've tried very hard to match them.
Have you gotten a lot of response or maybe some heat when you change the characters' voices? Do people write in and say, it doesn't sound the same?
Because we never really changed them. We've never had anything like that.
Uh-huh.
I think on one of the shows we had Charlie Brown that wasn't very good, and we got a few letters on that.
Right.
We just made a mistake on one of them, a little mistake. But most of the time, no, we've never had any feedback like that. We've put shows together, that we did 30 years apart, back-to-back on ABC, and you can't tell the difference in the two casts.
Wow, that's great. Well, Lee, we're going to have to take a little break.
All right.
But we'll be back in a moment with Lee Mendelson, who is riding along with us on the TV Time Machine.